The Secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ben and Woods, Wednesday morning here on 97.3 The Fan. As I mentioned, 1 hour from now, we'll be chatting with Washington, D.C.'s most prominent Padres aficionado, Major Garrett from CBS News.
What's going on in D.C.? Anything?
Not much. Got a transition period going on right now.
Smooth.
I want to ask him. He's doing more of the like the main anchoring.
Yeah,
he's the fill-in. Does weekends occasionally where he gets to sit at the big desk. You know, like where Dan Rather and those guys used to sit. He yeah. does that now.
They don't have him out there doing Christmas lights in D.C.
I don't think so.
No,
the holiday lighting at the White House.
Yep.
No idea, but we'll see what's going on and get his thoughts on what the Padres should be doing this offseason that is coming up. In 1 hour, our conversation with Eno Saris moments away. First, though, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danning. Eno Saris could not have enraged the Padres fan base any more, apparently, than he did yesterday on Twitter. He's one of our favorite baseball writers. We've got him right now on our SDCCU fan hotline. Eno, welcome back to Ben and Woods. Good morning to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on for a beating, it sounds like.
That's exactly right. Hey, you know, surprise, we've opened the phones, and now our listeners are going, no, yeah, I promise you we're not going to do that.
We had a great discussion yesterday. We read your piece about potential Blake Snell trades, 5 teams that could be in the market for pitching, might want to think about adding Blake Snell. The Rays seem amenable to possibly dealing him. The proposal that you came up for the Padres was Adrian Morejon, Luis Patino, and Luis Campusano for Blake Snell. Now, our radio station, you know, basically stealing your work, put out a poll asking our listeners, would you be in favor of that? You got shot down by a 2-1 margin. Not on this program, however, where we were a little more, I would say, open to the discussion. The Padres really do need, you know, someone like Blake Snell, I think. What's your kind of opinion on how badly the Padres could use a Blake Snell, first of all?
I mean, they need pitching. And the one flaw in the trade that I'll admit to is that they'd be giving up pitching depth to get pitching excellence. And maybe you think, and I think Paddock can get back on the horse. So if you think that Paddock can recover his earlier brilliance, maybe you think Paddock and Lamet is fine at the top and you're willing to see what Juan Patino can become and you'd rather have that depth. I think that's defensible, especially since there's probably some free agent guys. But if you think you need somebody at the top, I mean, I think Bauer is going to cost something like $35 million. I don't think, because he's going to do a one-year deal. So it's going to be like 1 year, $30 million or something. I think the Padres have about $20 million to spend on all of their needs. And so, you know, you're not going to get anybody at the top. So if you think you need somebody at the top of the rotation, then this is what it'll take to get Blake Snell. It will take a major leaguer and your best prospect.
In your opinion, you know, we're talking to Eno Saris here on Ben Owens. In your opinion, is that something that you foresee happening? You think the Rays are going to let a guy like Blake Snell go, you know, coming within one game of winning a World Series. I know they don't really care about selling things to their fan base very much, but speaking of defensible, how do you do that?
I think that they do that because their fan base knows, and it's part of probably why the fan base is not as robust as it could be, that they're always coming and going. And, you know, up here in Northern California, we have the A's, and the A's are the same thing. You feel like you're an Oakland A for 3 years, you know?
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
And then as soon as you get a little bit too expensive, you get shipped out. I mean, the last time they extended someone was Chris Davis, and that didn't, you know, quite work out the way they wanted to, and that was on a, like, sort of three-year, $45 million deal. It's not what it'll take to get sort of Chapman or whatever. So they just let people go, and they bring people in, they send people out. They're always both buying and selling at the same time. And that's what the Rays do, and it might lead to fewer fans, and it might make it really kind of annoying to follow the team because no one's there for a long time. Yes, they would absolutely trade Blake Snell if it got them a replacement or two in the rotation and a young bat. That's something they proved with Chris Archer. They were a decent team and traded Chris Archer anyway.
Is Blake Snell a top-of-the-rotation pitcher? Now, obviously, he's got the stuff and the results, but if another team decided, hey, we're going to use him more in the traditional sense and ask, you know, him to pitch into the seventh, the eighth, we're looking for 200-plus innings, it's not really something he's done over the course of his career, especially the way the Rays have used him and, you know, get through, you know, 2.5 times through the opposing order, and then we pull you in the fifth or the sixth. Do you think he can do what another team might be asking him to do?
It's a great point, and something that it's almost unknowable. But one thing I will point out is that the more pitches you have, the lesser your third time through the order penalty is. So, you know, someone like Denilson Lamet should have some trouble third time through the order, and theoretically, Paddock with a bigger mix like that should be able to go deeper with more pitches once he sort of harnesses them all. So I think we saw it a little bit with Garrett Richards. It was a little bit tough for Garrett Richards to get a third time through the order because he's basically a fastball slider guy, sometimes curve. Blake Snell, you know, has a legit slider, change, and curve. And, in fact, the sort of values on those, the only two pitchers that have matched, you know, the quality on those and the quality of results on those are Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom.
Wow.
And he's projected to be a top 15 pitcher. I think he's an ace.
That's interesting. Talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods, talking a little Padres baseball. One of the names, too, that you mentioned in your tweet yesterday, a lot of Padres heavy tweets. You know, we like that very much here in San Diego. Tywan Walker is an interesting pitcher. One of those guys that had so much promise, delivered a little bit, and is just kind of searching for it. Seems to be he may have found something last year, though.
Yeah, you know, his fastball is his best pitch, and I think that's an interesting thing for a starting pitcher. Usually, you know, you have at least a second pitch that's great. And so far he hasn't really shown that. But last year his slider changed and he threw his non-fastballs more than he ever had before. So I think that's a sign of maturity from him. And
very small sample, of course. But, yeah.
Well, the one thing that is actually super valuable in small samples, one of the reasons I write about it, is changes in movement, velocity, and pitch mix, because if you think about it, like, you need to be able to repeat a pitch to use it in the major leagues, and usually even after one game you can say, wow, he changed his changeup. The changeup had totally different movement in that game, and you'll see that stick going forward. So you know, he changed the movement on his slider. It's a different pitch now. Hopefully it's better.
You know, let's talk about your other suggestion you made on Twitter for the Padres, that if they went out on the market this offseason and added the trio of Jock Peterson, Tywan Walker, and then bringing back Trevor Rosenthal, they could essentially stay within their budget and become a top three team in terms of overall WAR. How does that math work out? Just kind of explain that one to Padres fans.
The easiest explanation is that they're already really close to the top three. if you sort by WAR, they have basically, they're half a win below the Astros and Twins, and then the Dodgers and the Yankees are the class of the big league. So if they could get a half a win out of that, and I think they can. I mean, the big thing is right now, if you're looking at their depth charts, they're below average in right field, where there's a bit of a regression projected for Myers. And I don't think that you need to replace Myers, but I think getting a lefty, you know, would make sense there, just to, you know, increase the outfield depth, maybe platoon with Myers if he takes a step back, and maybe DH if there is a DH. So I was looking for a lefty corner outfield bat for them. Otherwise, they can make headway by improving their fifth starter spot and improving their bullpen a little bit. And so that's why Rosenthal and Walker. Walker pushes Gore out of the rotation and into more of a let's see how he's doing before we bring him to the major leagues situation.
And it really is so absurd. You got teams like, and maybe they know stuff that we don't. I'm sure they do, but they're trying to construct rosters and make moves when they don't know the rules. Will there be a designated hitter? Won't they? I keep hearing that there will be. It's a negotiating tool, a negotiating ploy, whatever. But I do feel like that's a little bit weird, you know, like, hey, build your roster. If you sign a DH, you're stuck with him. It's strange to me. Have you heard anything on that front?
You know, it's funny, actually. I think the reason that we haven't heard anything is it's a negotiation, right, between the players' union and the ownership or MLB. And so the owners want to take the expanded playoffs, where players are not paid as well as they are in the regular season. That's a thing that the ownership wants, the players can give. The thing that the players, that the owners want to give the players for that is the DH, because it's 15 more jobs in the major leagues. But the problem is, and this is why I don't think that teams are too worried about this, DH jobs are not the highest quality jobs. They usually go to veterans, people who can't play defense. They're usually one-year deals, if they're deals, or maybe two-year deals. There are not that many Nelson Cruises, you know?
Yeah.
It's, most teams just cycle it. Like, the Dodgers didn't even really care if there's a DH or not last year. They just put their extra guy at DH, you know? And I think deeper teams will do that sort of thing, where they just use DH to keep people healthy and stuff like that.
I wanted to ask you about the non-tender trade deadline coming up, or the non-tender deadline tomorrow for teams. Do you think we're going to see a historic shedding of contracts, you know, surprise guys that you never would have thought would be non-tendered by the teams? Or is it going to be a little more typical that teams are just not going to be able to let talent get away, even if it is going to be a little costlier than they would like during a pandemic?
You know, I it's hard to tell. We've had like a Mookie Betts signing that seems like, oh, that's like the Harper and Machado deals, right? The $300 million signing of the offseason. And then we've had a bunch of one-year deals, basically, which that's kind of what happens. The numbers haven't been crazy. I expected more non-tenders, but now I wonder if it'll just be a little bit worse than usual. I think for you locally, the big thing is Tommy Pham, of course.
Yeah.
It's been brought up here, yeah.
It's been brought up, yep.
I would keep him. I know there were the surgeries, but the hamate bone surgery is not a big deal. The back thing, you know, I don't actually think it's that big a deal because it's a soft tissue thing. The wrist may be a big deal, but he was dealing with that issue last year. That's why he was had such a tough year last year. So, I mean, I think it would probably be a health thing, but I would keep him. And I think if he does go, then that would be a sign that more people got non-tendered across the league.
It's like going to a strip club didn't even figure into your calculations at all there. You know? I mean,
because it doesn't matter.
What do the metrics say about going to a strip club at 9 at night during a pandemic?
Can you do some projections?
Yeah.
Do some, you're more likely to get stabbed at a blank than you are a blank for my pearl-clutching partner. He said, you know what he said today? He goes, you know, what kind of leader is he if he's out there in a strip club? Like Ben is a minister or something. God.
I have to say, baseball players really don't want us to keep metrics about strip clubs.
Eno, on that note, we will let you go. Appreciate it as always. Another epic performance by Eno Saris. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Eno.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Follow him on Twitter at Eno Saris. Eno on our SDCCU fan hotline. Double payback days are here, Woods. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card. You could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com.
That's the line of the year. That's the line of the year. Baseball players really don't want us to do metrics about strip clubs. Phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
So I was looking at some of the names that are potentially up for non-tendering today.
Pacers, showgirls.
One that was kind of intriguing. Padres are looking for a backup catcher. We talked about Yadier Molina. Going to be a little pricey, though, to be a defensive backup catcher.
If you say what I think you're going to say, I'm going to fly across the room and stab you in the throat.
There's a great defensive catcher.
Ben, shut up.
That could get non-tendered today by the Cleveland Indians.
No, no, no. Not, you are not about
not
to do could what you're
get,
about to do.
Will get.
Austin Hedges.
Oh, God, dude.
Could be available today.
How dare you?
Well, really, would you rather spend like a couple mil on Austin Hedges or like six on Yadier Molina?
40. On anybody else.
Austin Hedges, giant loser.
I've seen all of this, like, oh, look who's out. Hunter Renfro's back out there.
Have you guys watched Padres baseball for the last 6 years?
We know what these guys are. I know that that when spring training comes, Austin Hedges hits a few cage bombs, and everyone, look at that. Guy's really been putting in the work in the offseason.
He found his swing.
Found it every year. We know what he is. There's a reason we cut bait.
Gut call. Is Tommy Pham still a Padre at the end of the day?
Yes.
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 Reasons?
He looks really healthy on his Instagram, and I mean really healthy. He posted a video of himself last night on a treadmill running 22 miles an hour.
Looking ripped.
Looking
jacked.
Shredded. Now, again, you give Carl Lewis or Usain Bolt a bat, I don't know that they could hit, so speed really doesn't matter when you're trying to hit. His wrist needs to be okay, but he looks to be working his ass off. Granted, it was a 30-second video. He could have done that video, sat down and played video games for 7 hours, right? It's all about the eyewash, but
not looking. There's some work going on there.
Yeah, dude. Let's
just say his lawyer, who just filed a suit claiming catastrophic injury, is going, Tommy, why don't we tone that down? The opposing lawyers are taking that video right now. It's first thing they're going to play in court. This guy does not look catastrophically injured to me, running 22 miles an hour on a treadmill in better shape than 99.9% of people will ever be in their life.
I think the better picture would have been him in one of those neck braces sitting on the couch like, sorry, man. Like, catastrophic. No, he looks to be...
Tub of potato chips just sitting there.
He looks to be in pretty good shape.
He does.
So a healthy Tommy Pham is an absolute boost to a lineup that desperately needs.
But remember that decreases likely the flexibility of other moves the Padres can make this offseason. I mean, and they have holes to fill. They need starting pitching. They need it badly. They need some relief pitching.
But at what expense? It's not like, again, there's not like, well, it's fine. If Tommy leaves, then we have so-and-so coming up, and he's going to be a world beater in left field. You need outfielders. They're very, very thin on outfielders. They've traded away a lot of outfielders, and there's none that jump out at me and they say, man, we really, it sucked to let, you know, Franchi Cordero go.
Franmil still sucks.
But, you know, Franmil is a DH. You know what I'm saying? He's a DH.
Even better.
yeah, true. But no, I think that's a bargain for a guy like Tommy Pham when healthy.
Well, we will. I'm not sure what the specific time is. I looked it up yesterday.
I thought it said 5 o'clock.
Is it 5 o'clock
8
Eastern
or 8 p.m. Eastern?
8 p.m. Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. So we could be waiting all day, all the way into the Gwynn and Chris show until we know for certain
tomorrow will be fun
that the Padres do or do not tender a contract offer. Now you don't have to sign him today. You just have to tender an offer, and then his side can come back with another offer. They can either, you know, meet in the middle or go to arbitration in January or February. So, but today is the day where you got to at least decide if you're going to offer him a contract. So we'll be following that story. We'll get to our Rindle report up next. More schedule flopping with San Diego State Aztecs. That is coming up. And Major Garrett in our 6 o'clock hour, 6:35. It's all coming up. Then it was San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.